We thank you, Celia. The first thing to say is do talk to Celia as well about just contributing. So I've asked lots of people to contribute. Some people said, can't do it this time. Some people said, I can just do a Bible reading. You'll be down. It's just wonderful to see this family. I'm just enjoying it so much. Phoebe running around with the microphone, Ruth on the, now it's Quentin, on the camera. It's just like, it's family. That's what it's about. And where do we start with this story? Obviously, we've got Elizabeth's story. So here we're focusing on Hannah's story. And I wanted us to start one particular place. And where we go in the next 4 weeks will be other things. If we can have the first slide, and the first thing where I want us to start, before we even read the passage, and I want us to start with unanswered prayer. This is a story of Hannah pouring out her heart for God, not answering a good prayer. The pieces of paper are here for you to write on a good prayer that has been unanswered. I have two examples that I think may just examples of what could be an answered prayer. So the first one, I think in topic, is Queen Elizabeth. She became queen in 1952 because her father had died. He was unexpectedly king. He wasn't born to be king. Edward VIII abdicated. He became king. He didn't have any boys. If he had, she wouldn't have become queen. So there's two unexpected things. And her prayer was that her father, at 56 years old, would recover from his cancer. And he didn't. It was a good prayer, but it wasn't answered. Pick another mother one just to... We went to Indonesia just before September the 11th. Today is September the 11th. And of course what happened in September 11th, 9/11 is now famous. A close friend there, who'd been there for a while, an American, felt that this was a terrible time and that the last thing that God wanted was for America to invade Iraq. And he chose to fast and pray so that America would not invade Iraq. He fasted and prayed the Muslim way. That means not in the hours of daylight eating and drinking. And he went on, and they invaded. It was a good prayer, wasn't it? As it turns out, he was very insightful. He wanted it because of the reaching the Muslim world, because of what America was, what it would do to the world, what it would do to the people of Iraq. And of course, it was not answered. Why? So we got a piece of paper. At the end of the service, we will be swapping these for communion. Celia will lead us in that. But just writing on the piece of paper, if you have a good prayer that was unanswered, you might want to write out a name or something very private or a code word or anything. It's what we have as we come before God, isn't it?
We're going to do the reading now from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Oh, hang on, I need to put my glasses on. We're not going to ask you to turn to it, but just to listen. And Danny has done a translation and is going to read a bit in Hebrew. He does this at home sometimes, and I really like it. I don't understand a word of it, but I just like to close my eyes and listen, and it just makes it seem more real, more authentic. I can imagine it all much better. So we just thought we'd try a bit of that. He'll read just one verse of each section, and I'll do the rest in English. So,
Vayehi ish echad min haramatayim, zofim meha Ephraim, ushmo Elkana, ben Yerochem, ben Elihu, ben Tohu, ben Zuf, Ephrati.
And there was one man from the Twin Heights, lookout posts, from the hill of Ephraim, and his name was Godfrey. He was the son of Yerochem, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and he was an Ephraimite. He had two wives, the name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Margaret. Margaret had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city from time to time to bow down and to sacrifice to the Lord of the armies at Shiloh. And there the two sons of Eli, Cophni and Pinchas, were priests unto the Lord.
Vayehi hayom, vayizbach Elchana, v'natan lepenina ishto u lekol baneha u banoteha manoth.
And when the day came and Godfrey made sacrifices, he gave to Margaret, his wife, and to her sons and to her daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave one portion, two noses. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut her womb. And her rival vexed her to anger, to make her thunder, because the Lord had shut her womb until now. And he did this from year to year, whenever he went up to the house of the Lord. Thus she would vex her, and Hannah, she would cry, and she would not eat. And Godfrey, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you cry? Why don't you eat? And why are you depressed? Am I not good to you? Better than 10 sons.
Vatakam Chana Achre Okla Beshilo Vachre Shato Ve'eli Hakohen Yoshev al Kise.
And Hannah rose after she had eaten at Shiloh, and after she had drunk. And Eli the priest was sitting on the chair at the doorway of the temple of the Lord. And she was bitter of soul, and she prayed about the Lord whilst weeping profusely. And she vowed a vow, and she said, Lord of armies, if you would truly see the suffering of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, and give to your maidservant a seed of men, then I would give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor will never go on his head.
Vahaya ki hirbeta lehit palel lifnei Adonai. Ve'eli shomer et piha.
And so she kept on and on, praying before the Lord. And Eli was watching over her mouth. But Hannah, she was speaking upon her heart, only her lips quivered, and her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought her to be drunk. And Eli said to her, How long will you be a drunkard? Put your wine away from yourself. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a deeply troubled woman. I have not drunk any wine or spirits. I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not take your maidservant to be a waster, because from the abundance of my complaint and my anger have I been speaking up until now. And Eli answered her and said, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you your Shelah from which you have asked from him. And she said, "May your handmaid find favor in your eyes." And the woman went on her way, and she ate, and her face was not for her again.
Wow. Okay, bit different. A narrative doesn't have a meaning. It gives you, it inspires you to meaning. It's what you make of it. But of course, how you tell a narrative leads you into particular ways. Suzanne and I particularly like watching, or have watched, The Crown. The beginning of The Crown, that first scene, maybe they're in a taxi, there's lots of photographers, there's two people, they're talking, they're saying some, and it changes the way you see the rest of the story from that first picture. What we're doing today is just looking closely at that translation, why it was like that, and just looking closely at the story and looking at the end, one thing on an unanswered prayer. It'd be very interesting to see how over the next 4 weeks others pick up different things in the story. But I feel I need to explain the translation and go through it a little bit. And that's what I'm doing this morning. So if we could have the first slide. It's like you're on the COVID thing, isn't it? First slide, please. And there was one man from the Twin Heights, the lookout posts. I don't know how your version goes, but it's Ha-Ramatayim, the Ramatayim, the high points, the places where there might be altars, the Twin Heights, it's double. And Zophim, lookout posts. Ha-Zoph is a lookout post. So here's somebody from the place, perhaps of worship, looking out, able to see the future from the Mount of Ephraim. Not the mountains, not the hills, from the Mount of Ephraim. Ephraim, the eldest son of Joseph, the powerhouse, the soldiers, the strong men. His name was Godfrey. Elkanah. El, God, Kana, has bought, has set free. Godfrey. He was the son of Jerocham, son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suf. Now that's his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and his great-great-grandfather. Can you go back four generations? I struggle for my fourth. Certainly don't know the name of my great-grandfather. So he knew he was a man of heritage in a key place, in a powerful tribe, looking out over the future, who knew his ancestors. And as if that wasn't enough, it tells you again, he was an Ephraimite. You've already told him. You've already told me all his descendants. You already told me where he lives. So you really powerfully, whatever we make of it, I don't know, really powerfully says, this is an Ephraimite. It's not a priest. His children wouldn't be priests. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, Grace, Hannah. The name of the other one was Penina, Margaret, means pearl. The name of the other one was Pearl. The other one was Margaret. So we'll go for Margaret. Margaret had children, but Hannah had no... Sorry, next slide, please. But Hannah had no children. There is a slide I missed. You can see the centre bit here. Ephraim is the yellow bit right in the centre. And it's fairly near Jerusalem. And it's in the hills. All right, let's go for the next slide. Sorry, I should have said. I obviously haven't had this practice of next slide, please. So, where were we? And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Margaret. Margaret had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up from his city. Well, probably it was a little village, but here it's given city. Adds to the importance of the event. From time to time. To bow down. And this is my favorite bit as well. The bow down is what you do to a king. It's hishtaveh It means literally to bow down, as Muslims do in worship. I could do that here now so you could remember it. Is that helpful? Or I won't do it. It is an interesting idea, isn't it? It's complete giving up of your whole self with your face to the floor. Utter humility. To sacrifice to the Lord of armies, the Lord of the armies, the Lord of armies at Shiloh. Okay, the Lord of armies, we say Lord of hosts, it means an army. And of course there's no police, there's no NHS, there's no anything. You need, the more you are, the bigger the army, the more you have a hope. At Shiloh. And there were two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, were priests unto the Lord. The rest of the story, Hophni and Pinchas, do not come into it. Why might they be here? Ask your neighbour for 30 seconds, and while we get the next slide up. Why does he mention? Because they're not in the rest of the story. All the rest is just Eli, and Hannah. Why does he mention this? 30 seconds. You can make up, you can read this how you want to, but it may help you to have some background. So if we have another slide. So this slide here is where we think Shiloh is. Okay? Shiloh doesn't mean too much, or Shiloh some people say, yes? It doesn't mean, what does it mean anything to you? It is, now there's been an excavation. Let's go for the next slide. The next slide is them excavating it. And that's them just digging up. Now, that's the presumed site of the temple that they dug up. They found that Shiloh was a town that was utterly destroyed in 1050 BC. It was a prosperous town before, and a complete disaster happened to it. It's a watchword for the Lord abandoning his temple. Psalm 78. I completely abandoned my people and I gave Shiloh and I destroyed the priesthood. Okay. Let's go for another slide. In the next chapters, chapter 3, you will hear about Hophni and Pinchas, how they used to take the sacrifices before their time. Okay. The sacrifice concept, the idea of sacrifice, it came up in previous weeks. It came up when we talked about God as a consuming fire. You make sacrifices. You make sacrifices. You come and you give something totally to God. You're a bull, a sheep, something that you, if a poor person, a chicken, and you burn the whole lot, you get nothing. It's just saying, I love you so much, God, I just give you this. God has it all. After you've done that, you then bring a sin sacrifice. A sin sacrifice is for all the things you've done wrong. And this becomes so holy that only the priests can eat it. You can't eat any of it. You can't touch it. Then, having done that, all the other things you brought, which is meant to be 10% of your income, you enjoy in a party. Now, Deuteronomy 14 describes this and says, if you've got so much, just bring it in money and buy strong drink and wine and celebrate before the Lord. Why? So that you will learn to fear the Lord. Interestingly, Deuteronomy 14 says, every 3 years, take that 10%, but when you get to that party point, give it to the poor people. So every 3 years you don't have Christmas. Yeah? So big Christmas, 10% of your savings, of your wealth. And then the other, every 3 years, it goes to the poor people. Why? So that you might be blessed. That's Deuteronomy 14. Okay. In this concept, we had two corrupt priests. So bad that anyone who was on the lookout posts would know there was trouble coming. Any powerful army would think at our core there's something rotten. How can you be forgiven if your priesthood doesn't give sacrifices? If they use these hooks to hook them out before it's ready. Let's go for the next slide, please. And when the day came and Godfrey made sacrifices, he gave to Margaret his wife and to her sons and to her daughters portions. But to Hannah he gave one portion, two noses, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut her womb. One portion, two noses. We do not know what that means. Does that mean that he, you know, two literal noses, you know, the pig snout? Well, it wouldn't be, it was Jewish, so it wouldn't be pig snout, the beef's, the cow's snout, or whatever it is. Or does it mean it's the best one? We just don't know. We just don't know. Our translations will come up with different things. Interestingly, apayim, the nose, is what happens, that's where you're angry. And this is a story of anger. So it could be the double anger, the portion of double anger. You pay your money, you read the text, how you want to. The portion of two noses, and her rival vexed her to anger, to make her thunder, literally to cause her to thunder, or thunder, because the Lord had shut her womb until now. So twice, if the story tells you twice, he told you five times that this guy was on the Alpha Ephraimite, he was really important, he was on the lookout post, he was in the power center. Here, twice, because the Lord had shut her womb until now. Is Margaret a baddie? Is she a goodie? The narrative doesn't tell you. If it wasn't for a vexation, as Quentin pointed out this morning while we were setting up the things, then would Hannah have prayed? Was this a terribly evil thing to do? And he did this from year to year. Whenever he went up to the house of the Lord, thus she would vex her, and she would cry, and she would not eat. Next slide, please. And Godfrey, her husband, is this good or bad? Said to her, Hannah, why do you cry? Why don't you eat? Why are you depressed? Am I not good to you, better than 10 sons? Is this good? Or is this bad? Is this a sympathetic husband? Is it completely misunderstands the point? You decide over the next 3 weeks. Probably the latter. Yeah, husbands are all these. Yeah, we're a fallen breed, us husbands. Yeah. Now, next slide, please. And Hannah rose after she had eaten at Shiloh and after she had drunk. With your neighbor for 30 seconds, is there a problem with that verse? This is a paying attention thing, 30 seconds with your neighbor. And Hannah rose after she had eaten at Shiloh and after she had drunk. 30 seconds. Anyone spot a problem? You can shout it out if you have. It says that every year they go up for this party, the massive party, the big one, the 10% of your thing, you do your burnt offering, you do your sin offering, and then you party. We drink. Right? But Hannah, at this moment that you're meant to party, the only time you, this is the time that you are meant to celebrate, could not celebrate. Her rival provoked her, and she could not sing, eat, and she could not drink. And then it says, and Hannah rose after she had eaten at Shiloh, and after she had drunk. Well, you can read it exactly how you want to read it. How I read it is its irony. Yes, it's the time of eating, the time of drinking, that she didn't eat, that she didn't drink. And of course that follows on later when she says, I'm not a drunkard. She's too upset to do that. And Hannah rose after she'd eaten at Shiloh and after she had drunk, and Eli the priest was sitting on the chair, okay, at the doorway of the temple of the Lord, some kind of temple. And she was bitter of soul, and she prayed about the Lord while weeping profusely. Really interesting. I don't know how your translations will do this, but she doesn't say she prayed to the Lord. It says she prayed upon the Lord or about the Lord. Wow. Very upset with God, perhaps. And she vowed a vow. Let's go for the next slide, please. Lord of armies, if you would truly see the suffering of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant and give to your servant a seed of men, then I would give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor will never go on his head. Two things you might want to notice about this. The first thing is that this is a prayer of five pieces. Yes? If you truly see the suffering, if you remember, don't forget, if you give a seed, then I will give, and no razor will come on his head. Okay? Godfrey's questions, let's go next slide. Godfrey's question has five pieces. Hannah, prayer, Lord of armies. Why do you cry? God doesn't see me. Why don't you eat? God doesn't remember me. Why are you so depressed? I have no seed. Am I not good to you? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's that I am rejected. Am I not better than 10 sons? Look, if you gave me a son, I'd give him away. It'd be no gain to me. What's going on here is she's pouring out her heart to the point of laying down her whole life. And even if you give it to me, I will give him completely to you. Next slide, please. And so she kept on and on praying before the Lord, and Eli was watching over her mouth. But Hannah, she was speaking upon her heart, only her lips quivered, and her voice could not be heard. So Eli thought her to be drunk. Right, next question for your neighbour. Why does this story tell you that Eli thought she was drunk? There's no need to tell you that, okay? He could just say, and Eli saw her praying and blessed her. End of story, yeah? Why does this story say, and Eli thought she was drunk? 30 seconds with that wonderful neighbour who's been answering all the questions up to now. These, you know, when Jesus tells narratives, like Jesus tells parables, and you read them and you think you got them, and then you get them again, and then oh, it's like almost like a porcupine starts sticking into you. You pick up it, you think, oh, and you. Oh. Same with this story. Same with this. This is the genius of the narratives of the Hebrew Bible. It's the more you think about it, you think, oh, it's telling me this. So I'm not even going to say why I might think, because it's something you live with and work out. And let's hear about it in the next 3 weeks. And Eli said to her, how long will you be a drunkard? Put your wine away from yourself. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a deeply troubled woman. I've not drunken any wine or spirits. I was pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not take your maidservant to be a waster, because from the abundance of my complaint and my anger, I have been speaking up to now. A little bit of intonation in my voice reveals the word that I would like you to think about. And that is, and maybe you can do it with your neighbor. So that, and that might relate to Eli's misunderstanding. It might be. But anger. Have you ever prayed to God in anger? You know, this is a lady brought to the tether by her rival, by her husband, by the Lord shutting her womb. And she is angry. Maybe you don't need to think about that with the friend you've been talking to, but maybe just to yourself. Can I take my anger to the Lord? And if I can't, am I giving my whole self to the Lord? And Eli answered her and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you your Shelah, which you have asked from him. We don't know what Shelah is. Most probably it is a miscopying error for Sha'ala, which is request. Okay, most probably. But of course, the Hebrew scribes, if somebody made a mistake and no one spotted it, they just carried on copying the mistake with a little note to say, not got a clue what this is about. We think it might be this. Okay. And she said, may your handmaid find favor in your eyes. And the woman went on her way, and she ate, and her face was not for her again. Now, what does it mean, her face was not for her again? Again, scribal error, possibility, it's nafalu, her face was no longer fallen. And that's one possibility. And in the Greek version, they have, and the face wasn't fallen. So that's possible. The other possibility is that she was a different person. Her face wasn't for her again. Now, just think about this. Nothing has changed. Yeah? She hasn't had any children. Her husband's still as thick as ever. Her rival is still vexing her. And the woman went on her way and she ate. Here's somewhere she couldn't eat, she couldn't drink. And her face was not for her again. Okay, now, where do we go with all this? Let me wind up, because we've come to 12, and this is, we have to finish by 12. I can't believe I'm so slow. Right, good job, this is the last.
You 15 minutes,
yeah. I wasn't even thinking about the time. I was thinking, oh, I am good fun. I'm terribly slow. Right, last, just the thing. I'm just thinking of two things. First one, Queen Elizabeth, and I think it's going to go forward with this. Unanswered prayer, she made a vow. Yeah? and God gave her the strength to keep that vow. That's what's remarkable. Okay, second thought. Queen Elizabeth and Hannah, nothing special about them. Her father, hand-trained, specially achieved the role of being last in his military class. When they asked him to be king, it was a bit of a surprise. My close friend was a footman to the Queen for many years. She likes crossroads. She's very humble. She's not an academic. She was never, but gave her life to God with a vow. Yeah? And you don't have to do anything. You don't have to be someone special. You have to give your life to God with a vow. That's how I read Elizabeth's story. That's how I read Hannah's story. But there's many different ways to read it, and I really better sit down, sorry.